السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام.
Welcome back
يا
to
أهلا وسهلا.
another episode. You're never as enthusiastic. You know what's so funny? Well, you're laughing, but you don't make a sound, so people just think it's awkward silence, but he's genuinely laughing. You just don't hear him.
Yep. The quiet elephant in the room.
The quiet elephant in the room. So we came back from Istanbul and Cyprus less than a week ago.
Yes.
Like 5 days ago, four days ago.
5 days ago, yeah.
Babe, just make sure she doesn't step on any buttons. Sorry, the cat is going a little crazy. Yeah, alhamdulillah, we came back. So when we did our last episode of Can Men and Women Really Be Friends, and I said we were traveling, and I was like, should we do a vlog? And I got a lot of DMs and comments saying, yes, do a vlog in Turkey or Cyprus with your dad. Unfortunately, Baba got really sick. And he had a fever, and then we were just kind of really being mellow and spiritual and just like spending some time together and bonding. So we didn't vlog, but he did a review on olive oil and on a matcha cake. So I think I'm going to start a series with Baba reviews. And it's just you reviewing things, like random things.
Well, if it gets to do with food, I'm your man.
Dad, we're going to get kicked out of every restaurant because you are never impressed.
I am almost never impressed.
Never impressed, truly. But anyway, so we came back, we had a good trip, alhamdulillah, khairu barakah, and now we're here, we're filming another episode, and we were racking our brains trying to figure out what to talk about today. And then, alhamdulillah, the way it always happens, we just talk about certain things that you're going through or I'm going through in life, and then we figured out a few questions for today, which is like the core of what we discuss.
Yes.
Are you ready?
As always.
Okay. Do men have it easier than women?
No.
Briefly. Make your case.
See, generally speaking, no. Because the requirements on the man are way higher than the requirements on the woman. The way the question is being shaped lately is filled with prejudice, because if you look at the history of the eternal question of a man and a woman, men and women never had it easy before, and the difficulty and the hardship was almost shared, not equally, but shared in a very almost in a balanced way, in the sense that the inequality and the injustice was so common that it kind of engulfed both of them.
Yeah.
You see, nowadays most people go with their memory and judgment to a certain time, which is mainly the 40s and above, when we had this fake state of the nuclear family, where a man leaves in the morning with his suitcase or whatever, bag of food or whatever, and goes and work a full day and comes back to a woman who's taking care of the house, doing nothing, just cooking and preparing food and looking after the children. And so what most people do not know, that this was an introduced era, an introduced social mechanism that never existed before, and it required a certain level of abundance, which was granted to few nations only after Second World War.
Yeah.
Mainly the American style of life,
because that was what they sold as the American dream.
Yes.
Yeah.
But even the people in America prior to that did not live this way. In most of societies, including our societies, and I lived this and I remember it very well, the woman had to work with the man and the children of the house just to sustain a proper life.
Yeah.
And regardless, what is the, let's say he's a baker. I do remember very well a Yemeni small family that lived beside us. They were our neighbors. And the man had a small restaurant where he does something called mutabak and sambusa.
Yeah.
And it's in Saudi Arabia. It's one of my favorite childhood food. But most people did not know how much the family back home, how much work they did. The lady and her mother, the wife and her mother, and the children of the house worked as much as the man did in preparing the the ingredients, which is the phyllo, and doing the dough, flattening it, preparing it, cutting it, if the filler, the filling, the meat, cutting the onions, that all was done in the house, and it's taken to the restaurant, and the man finally just, and it was a back-breaking work.
Yeah.
I remember my mother being a complete participant in the process of so-called life. So nowadays, who's having it easier, the man or the woman? Well, if I want to be fair, I would say the woman is having it slightly easier just because of the prejudice of the society, but it's not an ease that comes as a beneficial ease for the woman.
Mm.
It's a dangerous ease. Because it entitles women to certain false rights and false needs and false wants that does not lead them to anything progressive or creative at the end of the day. It actually makes it much more difficult for them to settle into a proper relationship.
Yeah.
So if we want to be fair, both men and women are really having it difficult, and that's because of the alienation of the definition of partnership and the rules that each and every member in this mechanism of a man and a woman should have. There has been always a very neat and tight intertwined network of activities between them, and they functioned as a unit. This spasm, this break into that fabric, who's benefiting from it? Now, you wanna have false
corporations.
Wins?
Corporations.
Thank you. You wanna have false wins? Have false battles. Most of us are fighting false battles,
yeah,
and claiming that they want to win this or win that. But finally, even if you win, you lose.
Yeah.
Because the battle itself is false.
Yeah.
Does that make any sense?
It makes a lot of sense. But you were talking about, okay, because you went into so many things. But at first it was the work thing. I mean, I think also we need to understand, and not to get too philosophical, because I also don't like to, but we always seem to discuss topics from a Western point of view. Do you know what I mean? The whole concept of feminism and, oh, it's a patriarchy and men have it easier, it all stems from there, and because they had the suffragettes and the fighting for women's rights and the whenever they did it. Do you know what I mean? And all of that, and then feminism, all of these terms come from them. But then they'll tell you, oh, because in the Arab Muslim world, did women always have their rights? I'm gonna go back to Sitna Khadija and say, yeah, but people then get mad. I had a dude comment, Sitna Khadija ran her business from home. I'm like, with what? With Wi-Fi?
Nobody work could from run, home? No, you know.
Like, you know what I mean? As if back then you could run your business from the house. As if you had Wi-Fi and you could just WhatsApp someone.
They were actually, the Mecca people were international traders.
Yeah.
And their trade crossed borders and continents.
Yeah.
So, you know, they traded with perfumes that came from India. They traded with silk that came from all the East. They traded with certain spices that came from many, many different. And they traded with a lot of stuff that came from so-called Northern Peninsula and all the way down to Europe.
I saw a video once, just to like point that out. Because here's the thing. When I defend the Global South for our history and our culture and our traditions, it's not to say that we are exempt from fault. Because always when someone tries to defend a certain thing, so for example, if you come at me with certain things like feminism, oh, the Arab Muslim world didn't have the rights, I'm going to be like, no, but we always have, because it's what our Prophet ﷺ wanted for us. It's what our religion at its core is embedded with. But did people apply it correctly? No, of course we have some gruesome history, some a lot of areas where it wasn't applied or words were twisted and manipulated, but such is life. That's the whole point of the test that Allah gives you, is that are you gonna apply His word to your benefit, or do you get it, or how He wanted you to apply it? So just to preface that when we talk about masalan, oh no, we always had our rights, it's not that we don't have any faults or nothing ever went wrong. Because when it comes to people and their greed, of course a lot is always going to go wrong. But at its core, I saw a video once from Shahid Bolson. But basically in this video, he was saying that the West are the only people who have ever been confused about what a woman is, what her job is, what she's meant to do, where she comes from, where she needs to go. The only people who have ever been confused about that are in the West. Especially in our world, we've always known what a woman is, what her duty is, how she is to be honored, cherished, protected, so on and so forth, and all of her rights. We've never been confused about that. It's not a thing that comes from our side. Do you know what I mean? But do men or women have it easier? I don't want to say men have it easier today. I don't. I'm not going to take away from what women go through. Women go through a lot.
In order to be fair, none of them have it easy.
But I think they make it harder on each other.
They make it harder on each other because every party wants to state that either he's a victim or a winner.
Mm.
And in reality, all of you are victims.
Yeah.
You are victims of the misunderstanding.
Yeah.
You are victims of the misconceptualization.
You are also victims of the agenda.
And of the agenda.
Facts.
You know, you see...
I think it's called... I need to check. But I think it's called the amphitheater effect or theory or whatever. And I've said this on this podcast before. I just need to know what the actual terminology is. But in essence, it's, you know, back in the gladiator days, it's that they'd keep you so busy with a circus show that you don't focus on what's actually going on. It's the same way, and today in today's world, it's like, oh, they'll put on a football match and people are too busy focusing on that and getting mad at that and celebrating that you don't see what else is happening in the real world. And I think it's that. I think they have men and women so busy fighting each other on who's the victim and who has it harder and who's better and who's worse and who's to blame. And it's so busy and so loud, and every day you have a new theory that comes out, like blue pill, red pill, feminism, I don't know what. And they have us basically chasing each other's tails, and the agenda is moving forward. Do you know what
yes,
I mean?
Yes, it's the art of distraction.
The art of distraction. They have us so distracted fighting one another while they're playing us like marionettes and puppets.
Very much. See, in reality, you know that all societies before used to be hijacked and enslaved. Yeah. Men and women.
Mm.
And the only people who could survive such a gruesome are young men and beautiful women. And the rest are to the burning
wind.
Fire.
Yeah.
So who was having it easy? None. It's just like evaluating different types of death.
Yeah.
Who's having it better?
Yeah.
In reality, all of them are executed, and it's just a luxury that in reality we do not afford. This kind of mental and intellectual luxury is just a waste of time.
Mm.
If people and mainly the younger generations, if they just focus on just doing the right thing to themselves and to the other. To the other sex, you know, a woman. Let's assume a hypothetical scenario where you give the woman all so-called Western rights now.
Yeah.
What are you gonna do with them if you're not finally with a proper man who can share those rights with you, because they reach to a point where no, a man with a sense of manhood, dignity would accept.
I agree. It's, you know, just to tailgate on that a little bit, you know how you see online all the time now, I don't need a man, I don't need a man, I don't need a man, right? Women say it all the time, I don't need a man. And I think that sentence needs to be just altered just a little bit. You do need a man. You're crazy if you think you don't, but you need a good man. I get it with some of the level of chivalry that I see today. I get it. You don't need that kind of man, but you best believe you do need a good man. And you should be very proactive about trying to be a good woman in order to have a good man. You don't need a man, but you really need a good, God-fearing man. You can't survive without one.
Well, you need that, and you need manhood in general.
But good manhood.
A good...
Because that you and I have spoken about, like, you've had men in your life, because even men amongst men, you've had men in your life where it's like that manhood and that bravado and that over the top, and it's done nothing but cause chaos.
That's not manhood.
That's not manhood. So to me, and again, I'm not going to go back into toxic masculinity because those clips were just... But it's about the genuine manhood and knowing the difference between what it is being a good man and just a bad man.
You see, when you know, in the Chinese, you have the yin and yang.
Uh-huh.
They cannot be in conflict with each other. They cannot be the enemies of each other.
No, they're in synergy, in perfect synergy.
In perfect, complete balance synergy. Mm. That's what a man and a woman is.
That's what they should be. Yeah.
And they must be. Until that happens, it's going to be chaotic inside. It's going to be chaos inside and outside.
I agree.
And you know, this is what I call false battles.
Mm.
It's just fighting for no obvious reason, except the delusion of winning.
Yeah.
And what you win finally is your demise. That's the only thing you win.
Yeah.
You see,
that's the problem with these extreme ideologies and these labels like feminism, like toxic masculinity. You find yourself on the offense and the defense at all times to your detriment. And by the time you wake up to the realization of that, it's too late, because it's this constant battle and conflict, with every soul around you. And for what? Just to prove that you're a victim?
Our minds get numbed.
Yeah.
And you
desensitized, you mean, like that kind of thing?
Yeah. You know, just watch children. Suddenly a child gets a little pissed off with his parents and gather whatever and puts them in a bag and he wants to leave.
I've done that many a time.
Yes, where are you
when
going?
When I was like 8.
Where are you going? I'm going to go.
Khalas, I'm gone. Finished. I'm out of here.
I'm done. It's funny that women do that.
When we get angry?
Yeah. Married women do that.
Do you know why they do that?
Yeah.
Because they want to be chased. They want to be reassured, no, baby, don't go.
Don't go.
And that seems to be too much for you.
No. I'm not saying it's if you're doing it because you're soliciting an emotional feedback at the moment, that's okay, almost.
The only reason a woman behaves in an erratic and crazy way like that, other than the reason that she could actually just genuinely be crazy, but in a romantic relationship, if a woman behaves that irrationally, the man is to blame. And I'm not a feminist, but what were we talking about today? A good woman can be made crazy by the wrong man, and a great man can be made miserable by the wrong woman. I really believe this wholeheartedly. And I think men make women a little bit crazy.
No. Men do not make women a little bit crazy.
Yes, you do.
Women are a little bit crazy. It is part of being a woman.
Women are emotional. Yes. Women are a little crazy. Women struggle with taking accountability. And I think it adds to all the beauty in us, because we're meant to be this way.
I accept.
And God created us this way. But you can... I'm a little crazy, but you can be a good woman and be a little crazy.
That's fine.
But when you're crazy, crazy in a romantic relationship... He made you crazy.
Well, I may say this is woman lack of accountability.
No, I disagree. I disagree.
Listen,
I disagree. Dad, I'm all for, I am all for everyone taking accountability for everything wrong that happens in their life. So even if a man were to make me crazy, I'll still tell myself, like, no, even if, like, he's the worst person in the world, why did I attract this? Why is this happening to me? What is my role in this? Because I would rather take power back and move on with my life. But a good woman can be made insanely erratic and anxious and panicked and the worst version of herself by a bad man. He can bring out the worst in her. And you agreed with me when we were talking behind the scenes.
I agree. If you see...
Producer, do you agree? She nodded.
You see...
The producer is nodding.
If you take a good balanced man and throw at him a crazy woman, you just destroyed...
But I said that. I said also a great man can be made miserable by a horrible woman.
But the same thing applies on a good, decent woman being treated badly by
But that's literally... Roll the tape. Is that all I said?
Yeah. But this is... See, if you go back to what I was saying, if we are soliciting emotional feedback from each other or emotional reassurance from each other, there is almost an unwritten rule. And there is almost... known boundaries that we know them as men. That's dala,
bitdala alayk. Which is fine.
That's fine.
Also, I know a part of you is also going to say like, there needs to be boundaries because women also know no bounds. That she does it once, two, three, it just gets bigger and more erratic. I get it. But in general, I do believe women will always need some form of reassurance, especially with romantic partners. We need that reassurance that you're always choosing me. But I think that's the man's job to be very proactive on, I am so sure of you all the time.
That's why it's much, you see, each and every so-called successful woman, there is a male figure in the background. Either.
This is what you wanted to talk about today, Nisha. I'm so sorry I interrupted you. But remember when we were thinking about prompts to discuss today, you said what makes marriages fail between a man and a woman. And here we found ourselves. Okay, you know what? Let's do it. Hit me. I'm ready.
You see, a male figure, a good male figure, works like an anchor. Because he always can come and say, well, you just slide it a bit more. Because by the nature of being a woman, you get stressed easily.
Yes.
You get overwhelmed easily.
Facts.
Anxiety takes over.
For
and
real.
Every now and then you need your internal trauma.
1,000%.
A good man is there to allow you to have all of those and not call you crazy.
And absorb it. Absolutely, yes.
Not only absorb it, enjoy it. There is a bit of joy in it because you know what? If you want a woman that does not have that,
then you don't want a woman.
Then you don't want a woman.
And also, I think, I have a question. Does he enjoy it because internally or subconsciously he recognizes he's created such a safe space for her because
Thank
he's
you.
That kind of a man
Thank you.
That
Thank
she
you.
Can be free to Thank behave
you.
This way?
Thank you. If the woman does not have enough, if the woman does not have enough sense of safety, she can never
have that balance.
Yes. Yeah. And can never express herself this way. See, I remember one incident that happened in our home many, many years ago.
Yeah.
We had a lady that used to come and help in the house from a village outside Amman.
Okay.
And one day she came and she had not a black eye, severely blue black eye over. And I was asked to help. So I look at the lady and I knew immediately what happened.
Yeah.
Although I was told a fake
story to cover up.
That she fell on her face.
Yeah.
So when I saw her, I said, Allah yaqta al-eid li wa'ati alayha.
Yeah.
May Allah chop the hand that you fell on. Which is me making...
Letting her know you know. I understand.
Telling her that I know that you were hit with a man's hand.
Yeah.
And it was clear that she was hit by her husband.
Yeah.
And that lady works all the day, get some money to go give to this abusive husband.
Yeah.
And most probably he thinks he's a big winner because everything is working the way he wants.
Yeah.
But is it? Who's the biggest loser there?
Him, of course. Dunya wa akhira.
Dunya wa akhira.
Yeah, of course.
Because
it's the next,
easiest
sure.
thing is to suppress a child or suppress a woman. And it's very easy. Women are easily broken because they're over emotional.
Yeah.
So how do you allow women to grow and become really genuinely woman? By allowing her to express whatever anxiety, weaknesses, insecurities in your in the safety zone that you create around her.
Mm.
But if things go out of balance, then it's the man duty also to make sure that this just does not continue, because there is a purpose for this outlet.
Yeah.
It's not about just living in trauma continuously.
Yeah. I think the main reason marriages fail is because God is not at the center of the relationship. So they end up serving man and not God. That's a recipe bound for disaster.
It's a recipe bound for disaster, yes. You see, most men nowadays marry because they think they are in love and they want that sensation of love to continue.
Hmm.
Most women nowadays marry because they want a wedding.
Okay. Every episode I have a hot take, right? Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you ready? If you spend money... wait, I have to say this is my hot take. This is my hot take. Okay, are you ready? Every episode. Okay, this is my hot take. If you spend money on a big old wedding, you are the dumbest person I know.
You're really dumb.
I really have to say it. And all my love to you, I wish you the most successful, happy marriage. I love love so much, and I want to actually see marriages succeed. But if you spend so much money on a grand wedding for the sake of validation and for people to be like, oh, hang on, look at that wedding, you are actually stupid, and I cannot converse with you.
You see,
that's stupidity.
Most women are not looking for marriage, because marriage is a hell of a complicated and deep sense of existence. And the minute you go into marriage, you are not living for you anymore.
Yeah.
You're living for the family.
Yeah.
Your existence, you see.
Can I say something?
Yes.
Just on that point. If you're saying when you get married, you're living for the family, right? Once you get married, it's no longer selfish. It has to be selfless, because you're living for the idea of what a perfect family unit is. So in essence, when you have a big wedding, because it's all about me, how can you ever, just after the wedding night, immediately transform into, I'm so selfless? It cannot. It can't. It's an impossible equation, because it's just, it's not, you're not capable of it. I think it's the craziest thing I've ever heard of this marriage industry. It's honestly big pharma, marriage industry, hand in hand with me. Right there together.
It's reaching a point where it is really genuinely deeply toxic. And people that would go into either very, very wealthy, affluent people that spend astronomical figures for just one night, and or for what's so called a honeymoon.
Honeymoon is fine.
No, it's not fine.
Honeymoon is fine. Let the kids have fun. Why are you hating on? Why are you raining on their parade? Let the kids have fun.
It's really not fine, but it's okay. It's all right.
Honeymoon is just for both of them together.
It really screws up the expectations.
Ah, because you're literally on vacation for a month, and then you think you're going to go back and have that for forever.
Thank you.
Really?
Thank you.
I see what you're... Okay. I see what you're saying. I'm going to let you have it.
Sorry for disappointing you girls. But
no, I see what you're saying.
But it's
but by that logic, they can't go on vacation together?
No, they can. They can. Just take 3-4 days.
Don't do a whole month.
A whole month. Take a week. And for God's sake, don't call it honeymoon. Call it just trying
to
know.
It's called a honeymoon. No one calls it a honeymoon but you.
I'm sorry. Honeymoon. Okay.
Shahr al-Asal.
Shahr al-Asal.
You're the only person in the world who's ever said a honeymoon.
Because I actually despise the concept.
That's crazy to me.
Thank you.
That's crazy to me. You just crushed my dreams. I was like, because I know I don't want to have a big wedding, but I'm like, I'll go on vacation for a month. And now you're like, no.
You know, going for a vacation for a month is fine with me after 1 year of marriage.
I'll agree. You know, fine. I'm 100% with you on that. Because I might even say two. I'll tell you why. Because most of the couples I know got divorced after 2 years of marriage.
Thank you.
Not after the first, after
one
two.
Of the most beautiful things that you can do is to take your partner, your husband, your wife, and go spend time away.
Yeah. And but can I also say something? Okay. No, I forgot what I wanted. No, it's going to come to me. No, wait. Ah, yeah. I find it extremely egotistical that a couple will have not gone through life together, and I'm talking about the bills, the sick children, the actual marriage, and they want to celebrate their love without having actually put that love to the test.
See,
hence the divorce in 2 years.
See, you're pushing the bar of expectation so high, and you're taking this false state of existence and want it to be norm and continue. You're setting yourself for failure.
Yeah, you are setting yourself up for failure. Yeah.
And listen, marriage is like recovery, is a very painful process. It's you need to live with someone whom you hardly know anything about. You need to find the common ground.
Yeah, even if you dated for 2-3 years, you really don't
it's
know much
just
about each
nonsense.
Other.
I agree. It's just false realities.
I agree.
You see people that dated and even lived together for 7 years and
they
three
get
months,
married and then divorced. Yep.
So what happens?
Yeah,
it's that false sense of security you have.
Yeah,
which like I remember one man who told me, "Oh my wife changed completely after we got married." No, she didn't change. She just showed you whom she is.
Yeah.
And that woman that you thought you married, you created. You allowed the lie to exist.
Yeah.
Because it's so easy to fake whom we are.
Yeah. Honestly, I would love to see someone from my generation or any of my friends who got married. I would love for them in 10 years to host a wedding party celebrating their love. Like, absolutely, yes, I want to be married to you for the rest of my life. I will go to that wedding and dance my butt off for them if that's actually true. But this concept of, I just don't get it.
You know what is the most common feeling between couples after 2 years of marriage?
Mm.
Deep resentment.
Where does it come from?
Ah,
tell the people.
We just said. Because they sold to each other a lie.
A false fantasy. Yeah.
And now, I'm resenting the fact that you lied to me.
And you're not what you told me you were.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But in reality, it's you are both like culprit. This.
Yeah. Yeah, both are to blame and culprits. I agree. Culpa everyone. I agree.
Yeah.
You really don't like this whole marriage thing. But it's strange because in Islam, it's completing half your deen. It's so important. But ihna, I know in Islam that it's the katb iktab and the tashir, which is announcing. So in this case, just post a picture of your hands on Instagram with a ring and just call it a day. You know what I mean? Anna, do you know what I'm going to do? Even though my mom, she like begged me. She's like, you have to wear a white dress. I don't know how I'm going to work my way around that. But I cannot imagine paying so much money to have a wedding. Especially after you're talking to people who couldn't afford noodles 4 years ago. And then I have to go take my hard-earned money and waste it all on one night and one night only. I cannot imagine in front of God physically going to do that. It's never going to happen. Never. But in my case, because obviously I'm on social media, so I just have to announce, inshallah, if God blesses me, when God blesses me, it's literally, you know, a cute little hand photo, his hand, my hand? That's my announcement. I'm not posting my husband on social media. I'm not posting my kids on social media. I want nothing to do with people validating my union.
Oh, it's very important that everybody thinks you are happy.
No.
And go live in misery.
No. I want nothing to do with people seeing the experience of what it is to be united mind, body, and soul to a man in front of God. It's none of nobody's business.
I remember me being shown a photo of a couple with their children. And just look how happy they are in their cruise thing. And then
we're not going to talk about that. I know what you're going to say. We're not going to talk about that. Okay. I get you. I feel you. I understand what you want to say. I feel you. But it's okay. We don't need to talk about that.
See, it doesn't matter what people think of your life. It doesn't matter how people perceive you. If you're genuinely and honestly happy.
Yeah. But you will never be genuinely and honestly happy if you seek external validation, especially in forms of social media or fame or an audience.
External validation is a form of kufr. External validation is a form of hypocrisy. External validation is the essence of slavery.
Mm.
and the essence of lies.
Mm.
See, like, how can I say this? It really puts you in such a serious disadvantage, not only between you and you, between you and God.
Yeah.
It's you lose the essence of your own humanity.
I saw a video of one of those sheikhs, like Hamza Yusuf. He's a British man who reverted to Islam many, many moons ago. And he was talking about, he's like, it's very strange to see now a lot of Muslim people coming out trying to be famous off the back of Islam. And I kind of looked at it and I was like, oh, is that me? Is that what I'm doing? And I got so ashamed because he's like, what are you guys doing? He's like, this goes fully against what we do. But then I was like, but he's on social media saying this. So but he's a very good man, like this man who's talking. So I don't know. It made me a little like, am I doing this?
Nobody can answer that except you.
I don't know. I told you, let's shut this down. I say it once a week.
If I know you're doing this with a sense of hypocrisy, I will get out of it.
I've been saying, I'm so sorry. I feel like this is going to shock people. But almost once a week, I'm like, let's just khalas. Let's just, we said what we needed to say. Let's just, I'm so over this. I can't.
The fact that you've been touching hearts and been touching people. And I see a very good feedback that comes.
Alhamdulillah.
It really matters.
Yeah, honestly, it's just, but it really motivates me, but it's also a little selfish because I'm like, okay, God put me in this position and I know I'm getting like good blessings from reverting people or people being remembering God because of this in any capacity. I'm like, this is just good energy. You know what I mean? It's good hasanat and barakah.
So we actually were talking about this today. Where is the line? Where you remember?
Oh, you and me?
Yeah. Today. This really? Today. Yeah, when I told you, the minute you find yourself doing things just for the attention of people,
yeah,
then you just lost.
Oh, you're lost for sure.
But as long as you're doing things with a purpose behind them,
yeah,
you know, Baba, you may have the attention as a plus, as an extra currency. It comes, you are not asking.
No, I think God keeps me humble because brands won't touch me. So I think God keeps me humble. He's like, I'm going to give you an audience that loves you and is like a cult and will follow you. But people aren't going to give you money. And I'm like, you know what? I'll take it. I'd rather take the hasanat and the barakah and the being able to discuss freely. And brands don't give me money. It's okay. It be what it do and it do what it be. So God humbles me.
I've never seen it this way. It's just the act of doing the right thing.
Yeah. But, you know, God keeps you humble. Any day. I'll take God humbling me any day. Okay, what else, Daddy?
Tell me.
No, you tell me. I feel like we're not...
What was the last?
No, there's these two questions. We haven't exhausted them.
No, we haven't.
But you know what it is? The audience, should I go live on Instagram? My audience loses their mind when I go live on Instagram. Honestly, it's one of the things I really like. They make me feel really nice. Do we do it?
I don't know.
I'm going to go live on Instagram. Wait. Tell, can you hide? Tell, can you hide? It's okay, it's okay. Okay, wait. I'm going to wait for people to come on. They're going to see me. Oh, I can't hide the camera. We're telling your followers that you've started a live video. So Sarah did this. I go live, which means I'm literally live on camera with my audience. And then they come in. And then, okay, wait, let me show them. How can I flip this camera? Okay, guys, I'm filming an episode with Baba. Daddy, wait. Okay. So we're filming an episode live right now. And then you guys can send in your questions. That I love. Okay. Salmi ala ammu hadir. Guys, I've sent my greetings. Can you send your questions in live? Because I'm with Dad right now. I need help with confidence. Dad, what's your number one advice on being confident?
Well, why do you need confidence? And how do you define confidence?
Do you see what I deal with?
The breaker of confidence. The whole issue of confidence is related to the acceptance of people of you.
Okay.
As long as you're trapped into how people accept you, you'll never get confidence. Just cut that cord.
Okay, so that's saying you become confident by cutting the cord of seeking acceptance and validation from other people.
It's as simple as that.
Okay. Oh, that's so cute. I know you guys can't hear him. You're going to watch him in the podcast. Okay. how do I make my father understand my dreams and my goals so he can support them?
Well, it's the most difficult thing is to really to make fathers understand, because they think they understand. And most of the time they come to you with ready-made formulas that they want to shove into your throat. That's it. Take it. So one of the things that you can do is to act like you are accepting what he gives you.
Okay.
Think of it as a charity to the old man.
Charity to the old man.
Yeah.
But yeah, I get it. I do that with you sometimes. I'm like, okay, whatever you want, Daddy.
Yeah. Okay. And then gradually, the minute...
Dad, wait, someone's asking you, شو أكتر صفة بتحبها بليلى, which means, what's your favorite thing about me?
Allah. Everything about Layla. Allah
يرضى عليها. Everything? Facts. For sure. Oh, someone's asking, what's the right age to get married?
There is no right age, really. If you find the right person, marry.
It's not the right age, it's the right person. Yeah. I agree. Okay. I agree. Who was the most expensive daughter? Me.
Yeah, Layla. Alhamdulillah.
So cute. Okay. How to become regular with Salah?
By becoming regular with Salah.
Right? It's just
What is the circular
Actually,
question?
Actually, I'll say one thing about the Salah, and this is something, it's so ridiculously simple and easy, but it's the 5 second, it's the 5 minute rule, sorry. If it takes you less than 5 minutes, don't postpone it.
Absolutely. Just, you see, وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ. In the beginning, anything you do feels heavy. Prayer in specific, for the first 40 days, it feels like a mountain.
Yeah, the first 40 days, I agree.
And then it starts to become lighter and lighter. And then you come to a point where you really cannot live without prayer.
I agree. This one is actually really cool. How do you become unstuck in life when you've been living the same life for years with no tangible process? I think it's when you plateau and you get stuck in a certain phase in life.
One of the greatest bliss in life is routine. If you can manage to have a routine, you are a blessed person.
Yeah, but what if it's a routine that's not benefiting you? If there's the feeling of being stuck, that's not a routine.
That's not a routine.
So how do you become unstuck?
You're willing to lose. You're willing to take
risks.
Risk.
Yeah, and, I think it's about doing something that's out of routine.
Out of routine. And do not fear loss. Do not fear loss. Sometimes what you imagine as loss is just simply you're losing your chains.
Yeah, I agree. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Everyone asks me this all the time. How to have that unwavering yaqeen in Allah? My simplest answer on how to have unwavering faith is simply have unwavering faith. Go against the grain of anxiety. So if I stress over the unknown or panic, it's training yourself, and it really is the fake it till you make it. It's like, okay, I'm panicking, I don't know if I'm gonna get that job. Unwavering faith in God is what? I'm gonna get that job, and if I don't, I'll get better. So I just have to, it's like a mantra, and I trick myself into believing it.
You first of all, two things. You need to keep on asking Allah Jalla Jalalu, God, to bestow that faith on you.
Yeah.
And second thing is, and the second thing, which is very, very important, is to do what your ego tells you not to do.
Yeah.
And do not do what your ego tells you to do.
Yeah, I agree.
And the minute, you see, I used to ask myself always this question, what's the worst that can happen to me?
And accept it.
And I accept it.
Yeah.
Just play that game on your ego and your brain.
Yeah.
If you are in a situation, just ask yourself, what is the worst that can happen to me?
Yeah.
And accept that worst.
Okay.
And then you will see how the whole mountain of anxiety and fear and what ifs just disappears.
Yeah. I agree.
And the clarity comes.
One last question.
Bismillah.
Let me see. Which one are we going for? You know, I'm going to answer this because I get this question a lot. How to become eloquent, which means how to be able to formulate a sentence comfortably, include a little bit of vocab, but without sounding obnoxious or ostentatious and still relatable. Honestly, reading books and learning vocabulary.
Yes.
So when I was younger, I remember I had that little vocab book that was 250 words and it was pictures. It was from King's Academy, which was crazy. But it stuck in my brain because of the pictures, and we used to like test each other. So learn a few good words of vocabulary, read books. And I'm not talking TikTok books. I'm talking like Jane Austen, a little bit of Tom Hardy, like that kind of stuff. And it really just switches you up. Also, practice in the mirror.
Oh, that's what I was waiting for.
Practice in the mirror. So learn your vocab, read your books, and go monologue yourself in the mirror.
Imagine always, create your own audience, stand in front of them, and give a speech.
Yeah.
And record it and listen to yourself.
Yeah. And also, get out of your head that you don't like the sound of your own voice.
Oh, we all don't like the sound of our voice.
I love the sound of my own voice.
But it's an egotistical thing.
No, I used to hate it. But then we started this podcast, and obviously I have to edit and I have to pick the clips. And I was like, Layla, you're a grown woman. مش معقول, you're going to cringe every time you hear your voice. خلاص بقى. I'm like, this is the voice God gave you. Let's move on. Now I'm so adjusted to it. I don't care.
Actually,
I don't flinch.
Actually, we usually don't know how do we sound.
Yeah.
We hear it.
Yeah.
Because what we listen to is the echo.
The echo. Yeah, I know.
So you will be surprised how pleasant you are when
you just enjoy it.
Yes.
Just be good with it.
Yeah. You know, when we are too critical of ourselves, it's a sign that we really kind of over.
Can we say bye? Okay. Huh. Guys, say bye to daddy. Bye, Baba. Assalamu alaikum. All right, guys. Sorry, we're in the middle of recording an episode, but I just wanted to show dad this live thing that Sarah showed me. Thank you guys so much. Love you. This episode's going to come out like tomorrow. Bye.
See, most of the
isn't
time...
Isn't that crazy? By the way, you weren't seeing what I was seeing, okay? I'm like on live and you have like dozens of questions coming in and I'm trying to like focus. Sarah did this once when we were in the studio. She's like, let's just go live. I was like, what? I'd never gone live before. And it was such an overwhelming experience. But she was sitting in front of me and she had the camera on me and she was reading the questions and asking me. But it was really nice because my audience are fighters in the best way. They're just like there. They're like soldiers.
Mashallah.
I feel like today's episode was a little bit of everything. I don't have any reels, and I don't even want to see a comment of the reels don't matter. They matter. They matter. It's what brings you guys here. So we're not leaving until I get like three more reels.
That's fine.
Basabiso.
That's the most cute cat ever.
It's your most baby. She's the most beautiful thing in the world. Hi, Baba. Hi, sweet girl. Please look at what she...
I actually struggled with cats all my life.
But you love this one.
But I love this one.
She's so good. Yeah. She's such a good girl. That's ooh, your little butt. Your little butt is in my face. Okay. Do we go... Listen. I'm going to say one thing. We dabbled. We dipped. We dipped our chicken wing in the sauce of these two questions.
Okay.
But I know the audience... They're going to come back and they're going to be like, oh, can you clarify this? Can you add about this? Which I love. So then we can delve into it and answer their questions. But I'm going to go answer more of their like in-depth questions. But I'm going to ask you something else. Are you ready?
I'm ready, yeah.
Do women really want equality or just options?
Options.
Options. They want all the options.
The biggest enemy of a woman is equality because it comes with accountability.
No, I think the biggest enemy of a woman is herself. I've seen women talk themselves into the most unhinged situations. I've seen women's delulu make them buy a labubu at this point. Like, that's how delulu women are.
I agree.
Of course you agree, because I'm right.
No. Do they want equality? No, they cannot handle equality. Equality is a very unpleasant state to be in.
Also, equality is the biggest lie sold to women.
Yes.
It's the biggest load of crap sprinkled with even more nonsense.
You cannot. It's just
sold to a woman.
Yes, it's a form of impossibility, if I'm using the right English.
It's a form of impossibility. Yeah, it's one of the it's an impossibility. Yeah. Sure, let's go with that.
Is he equality in what? In responsibilities, in duties. It's not gonna happen, and you don't really want to happen.
No, I don't want it to happen. But I think women. I know women are waking up more and more every day to this lie of feminism that was sold, to this lie of equality that was sold. It's just so unfortunate, just given the facts of life that don't care about your feelings, which is your biological clock, which is your dating pool, which is, that by the time women wake up to, oh, we've been made a fool of every day of the week and twice on Sunday, it's too late for them.
It's too late.
And it's devastating because I see how heartbroken they are. And I understand and I relate and I sympathize and I empathize and I feel for them. It's almost enraging. Like, how could you do this to us? But what will infuriate me even more are the ones that haven't woken up to it, defending it to the bone. Because it's like, no. Go stay in that chaos on your own. Let the other women heal and attempt to somewhat try to revive their livelihood. Just somewhat try to become alive again. Because they're really shattered by this notion of, I wasted the best years of my life.
And they don't come again.
They don't come again? No, of course. Sarah says this to me all the time. Layla, your most valuable asset that you will never, ever, ever, she says something specific, but like, it's your irreplaceable, non-renewable resource. That's what she says. She's like, it's your time. Yeah. And it's true. It's your time. And especially with women, I think, and it's so unfortunate that we realize that our most non-renewable resource, which is our time and our attention and our energy, we appreciate it more and we recognize it more the older that we get and the more late it becomes. Still, I will advocate for wake up to it, but there is a point where it becomes genuinely, it's too late for you.
If women understand that they've been given a treasure called from 17 to 25 or 17 to 24,
I'm just going to say one thing. I'm sorry, I have to preface this. Okay? No one go like, the legal age is 18. I'm going to tell you why. Okay. Let me say this.
That's in America.
Yeah, that's just what I want to say. Okay? Why did the... I want to just understand one thing. We as the Global South, as a nation, why are we determined by what the West has deemed acceptable and non-acceptable? For example, 18 is the legal age. Why? Says who? Says America?
Says America.
So now if we say, oh, women's prime is between 17 to 25, 17, which is, by the way, like 3 months from 18, you know what I mean?
What
and then we lose our minds because America decided 18 is the legal age.
What is the legal age in Japan?
I don't know, actually.
13.
Wow. Japan be trusting these 13-year-olds.
13.
No, but if you look at the history of America, America still allows child marriages in, I think it's about 22
in many,
states.
Many, many, many states. 16, 15.
Yeah.
Yes. See. Leave the social garb.
No, but because you said 17, and it blows my mind, especially when I have my brown brothers and sisters in the comments going, 17. Don't come at me with 18. Don't come at me with 18. By the way, 17, and you turn 18 in 3 months.
Actually, it is from 16 to 24.
Yeah, by the way, women, can I say something? Women, if given the right resources, the right education, the right tools, that is made for women, by 16 you could be a powerhouse. But they teach you that, oh, by 18, you know, you're still like drinking beer and going off to college to play beer pong dating. And then, oh, you graduate by the time you're 21, 22. And then it's like you're still a young adult. You don't really know yourself. What do you mean I know myself by 30? Why are you taking away the best years of my life and refusing for me to allow to know myself by then? And you want me to start knowing myself by 30? Why? You took away 15 years of my life.
Exactly. This is the trap women fall in.
Yeah. Men too. You took away 15 years of my life. At 16, men and women could have been given all the tools to become the best version of themselves by 24. You took away the best 15 years of my life.
You see, what happens is, this is when a woman at her prime value, socially,
Are you saying I'm out of my prime? I am. I'm no spring chicken anymore.
It's just cutthroat facts.
No, Barbara. I'm not. I love this. Sarah and I talk about this all the time. I'm 30. I'm not like old, but I'm no spring chicken.
The mechanism changes.
Facts.
It's not that you lose value. You lose your value. This is the prime. This is when it's the right time to sell your shares. Because Tesla is 550.
I get you. Yeah, Tesla.
Whatever. That's an example. Just an example.
Yeah.
So, but you take those prime years and waste them into clubbing and
beer pong.
And jumping from a boyfriend to the other.
By the way, I'm not, I'm just going to preface one thing. I'm not judging nobody. I was such a victim of this ideology, especially growing up in a French school. And Dad, we remember before we traveled to Istanbul, you slept over the night before so that we could head out to the airport in the morning together. What did I put on TV? I put How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. And it's so shocking. I was telling my friend the other day, it's so shocking to me that when I watch a movie today from the early 2000 rom-coms that I used to watch it between the ages of 13 to 17 and I used to love and not flinch and I didn't even react. I watched recently How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days and I was just shocked at how sexually liberal, how they're trying to implement and infuse this idea of sexual liberation and just have sex and one night stands. And I, at 30, I was like, wait, what? I'm like, what am I watching? I don't remember the movie being like this. But it's because I've awakened to it. When I was in the social understanding that this is okay, or this is what you're supposed to aspire to be, I didn't even flinch. At 30, I flinched. At 16, I was like, yeah, this is totally it.
this is how women are trapped into losing their prime. Their prime value, their prime essence, for nothing.
Crazy. Crazy.
For nothing.
It's honestly the craziest thing in the world. But it's insane to me. That was shocking to me. The indoctrination. Despite how awakened we think we are, you're still heavily indoctrinated and you don't even realize it sometimes. Because it was really shocking to me and almost disturbing that at 16 I didn't flinch at that movie. And at 30 I was kind of like, I can't watch this anymore. That's insane to me.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah.
So my point is, I'm not judging people.
We're not judging anyone. It's just we're calling things what they are. And then it's up to everyone to choose what path he wants.
Yeah. But just know the facts.
Just know the facts.
Yeah. Go on.
Tell me.
You were talking about the prime years.
Those are the prime years.
Yeah.
Those are the years where
it's like sell your shares. Yeah, yeah.
Where really, you see, and those are the years, strangely speaking, that the concept of marriage is being taken away.
It's like you're too young to be married.
Too young. You settle later. What do you mean by that?
Okay, but can I say something though? Because you and I were talking about this when we were traveling. When a man and woman get married, let's say both of them are 21 and they get married at 21. Men and women don't age the same way. I am 100% for a woman being with an older man.
I do not prefer that people marry at the same age.
Me neither. It doesn't work out.
And it's usually unfair for the woman later.
I agree.
She's 21, he's 22. 10 years later, she's 32 or 31 and he's 32. With two children, maybe three from him. And he's at his prime now. He's just starting to touch prime.
Yeah.
So it puts her at a serious disadvantage. So a good reasonable age difference is 5 to 7.
I agree. I was going to say 7 years. But before people freak out like, oh my God, she's 18, he's 25, they have no business being together. Again, I will reemphasize, if we raised women right and gave them the actual empowerment that actually makes you a good, strong, level-headed woman who knows God, who knows her boundaries, who isn't being groomed because she actually has a whole personality developed, isn't over-indoctrinated, over-medicated, and over... What's the word I'm looking for? There's a word I'm looking for. What did I tell you before? I was like, everyone's over-vaccinated, over-medicated, over-indoctrinated, and there was one more I was telling you.
I cannot remember it.
Anyway, if she wasn't all of these things, and because if you actually want to fill someone's cup, you can. And by 18, a woman can be a really strong powerhouse. So by the time she's 18 and she's dealing with a 25-year-old, he's not grooming her. But if we did things right from the start. But of course, an 18-year-old now is the easiest thing to groom because you've made her vacant. She's empty. She's a hollow shell of herself. There's no personality. There's no foundation of belief. She doesn't have strong roots of what is right and what is wrong and what she actually wants and deems fit for herself. She doesn't know any of that. That's why she needs like 4 years of college to discover herself.
Yeah.
an experiment.
And we know what discovering herself means.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
See, that's crazy to me. That it's okay for an 18-year-old to go sexually experiment in college, but she can't be married.
With another 18.
Yeah. Or a 22-year-old, or 23, because he could be graduating or doing his master's. That's fine. See, that's crazy to me. The doubles, that's crazy to me. That you can go do that, because then it's her choice. She's being free. She's experimenting. She's figuring out what she wants. But we won't let her marry a 24-year-old.
You see, a woman...
Crazy!
A woman, a girl, that's being raised properly in with the presence of a very strong
father male figure. Facts.
Father figure.
Facts.
At the age of 16 is equivalent to a man at the age of 28.
I agree.
But if she doesn't have that, she is the easiest victim you could think of.
100%. That's why people today know shouldn't get married at 18. Honestly, shouldn't get married at 30 with the crazy I see every day. If you bought a laboo-boo, don't get married. You're not ready for that kind of commitment.
Don't get married. Just go have a wedding.
Yeah, go have a wedding. If you bought a laboo-boo, you're not ready to get married. You don't even understand anything anymore.
Alhamdulillah.
The laboo-boos?
I don't know haunting. What is that.
But I told you that little monster thingy. I told you the lipstick theory.
I saw the thing with the 40.
I told people. I'm like, wait for the recession.
Bismillah. Allah yahfaz al-nas.
Laboo-boos? That means, khas, that's it. Daha.
Yeah, I remember.
Daddy, I don't know if I have any clips from today's episode.
You have plenty, mashallah.
Are you sure?
I am.
Are you like, sure?
Inshallah.
Yeah? Okay. One more question. Last question. And then we can bid each other adieu. Where is it? I had asked you a question before and I can't find it. Let's just end it on this one because I think it's really sweet and we'll make it short and petite and kitkut, okay? Yeah. Do dads get enough credit in parenting?
Oh, really? No.
Can I also say I really think no, because it's very interesting to see that most of the things women's issues... Sorry. The number one thing that gets blamed for women's issues is a father and a lack of a father figure. And it's so interesting that I actually had this conversation with Sarah and she was like, oh, the daddy issues because the I was like, no. If there's one thing I have to give my father full credit for was being there emotionally. Like, I do not have daddy issues when it comes to you not being there for me emotionally or loving me or helping me regulate my emotions or giving me tough love, but also that soft, sweet love, like all of that, I have to hands down give you credit for being the best dad ever. Hands down. I think the way you messed me up is how I just saw you behave in general in life with your women, as everyone in this audience has heard. That's what messed me up. But when it came to you and me personally, nah, you were like my best friend, my mentor, very protective, but also very, I don't own you, which was one of the most liberating things to go through. And you went through a little bit of a crazy phase, which is fine because we were all crazy. But you, since I was 11 or 12 and I had to leave the house, you were very much like, I don't own you, you go, and I'm here when you need me. And it's trickled down into today because I live on my own and you live on your own, but if I ever need you, you're there, which is just the most phenomenal feeling. So, and I don't think dads get enough credit because God bless my mom, but even my mom would be like, "Shu amil abuki?" I'd be like, no, he just cared for me when I was sick, you know, when I almost died, was by my bed every day, but you know.
Every hour of the day.
Yeah, you were great when we were sick. You were even, honestly, I'm just going to say, even when I was 15 and stupid and like heartbroken from a guy, very much there. If a girl shared a deep secret and traumatized me or gossip, you were there. When my body developed at a young age, you were there. I have to 100% give you credit for that. Men, dads don't get enough credit for being present. They get a lot of smack for not being there, and rightfully so, but you don't get enough credit for being there.
Alhamdulillah, but I really never asked for credit. All what I wanted to see is that you blossom. Not only you.
You never asked for credit for yourself, but you would ask it for us. Because you would be like, if you don't recognize where this blessing came from, it has no effect on you, but it's very detrimental for me. Like, if I didn't give you your flowers, it doesn't affect you because you're a dad. You're like, it's my job. I have to raise you. You know what I mean? But it would affect me if someone blesses me and I'm unable to recognize the blessing source and give them their flowers, it hurts no one but me. Why would I be blessed again? Why would Allah choose to bless me again if I refuse to acknowledge it?
I remember me telling you and your siblings, I do not ask you to love me back.
Yeah.
And I do not expect it. It's just that I'm telling you, it's good for you to love me.
Yeah, it's not for you.
It's not for me. I don't benefit from it.
I agree.
The one who benefit from it.
I fully agree.
And you see, this is when you break this idea of, I did something to you, pay me back.
Yeah, because where it's transactional.
When it's transactional.
And conditional.
And this is where most parents are trapped.
Yeah, facts.
عملتلك, سويتلك, قدمتلك. And now you need to show me your love.
How much you appreciate it, yeah.
This is how they lose their value.
Of course. Yeah.
And
the second you have to demand your value from any man or woman,
you have no value.
You have no value.
Yes.
Yeah.
Alhamdulillah.
Facts.
Alhamdulillah.
Anyway, point is, dads don't get enough credit. At least mine doesn't. But now you have a whole audience that gives you credit for raising a legend.
Alhamdulillah. I think I get all the credit I want, I deserve, or I want just by seeing you prosper. That's the biggest credit.
I would like to think I give you credit. I hope. I mean, I would hope. I would like to hope that I do.
Alhamdulillah.
But I think you do. I think you're a great dad. I do. But do I think you're perfect? No. Obviously.
Oh, I thought I am perfect.
No, absolutely not. You belong to the streets just a little bit, but I but I absolutely think you were dunya wa akhira, the father we needed. 100%.
Alhamdulillah.
Even mom, I really think God gave me the parents who made me who I am.
It's easy to give advice if you have no experience. If you have genuine experience, you are very careful when you give advice, because you really appreciate what people go through, because you went through it.
Yeah.
And there is no expectation. There is a lot of tolerance and understanding and forgiveness towards others, because you went through it.
Yeah.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you.
I love you, Daddy.
Love you too, Baba.
You're a good dad.
Thank you.
Yeah, hello. Are we done? Wrap it up?
Yeah.
Okay. That's our episode for today. It was a little bit chaotic. A little frantic, a little delulu, like your laboo-boos. If anyone in my audience has a laboo-boo, unfollow me.
Don't say that.
Go away.
You might end up with 5 followers.
Seriously, if you bought a laboo-boo, you can go. We have nothing to discuss. You will never get this.
No, we forgive you. Just
never. It's haunting me. But yeah, anyway, thank you so much for today's episode, Daddy. I really enjoyed it. To think we almost weren't going to film. Let us know if you have any questions in the comments below. Today's episode was a little chaotic, but I don't care. I really enjoyed it. Feels really nice.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Assalamu alaikum. I say assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
No, wait. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam, habibi.